You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. So wanting my cake and eat it too. And wanting it both ways. Fame made me a balloon, cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. And it was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It's like winning a used me. I'm running cause I think I'm getting so huge. I need a shrink, I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and kooky is cool key. But I'm actually weirder than you think, cause
I'm friends with the monster.
Well, life's not fair, just for the record.
Vicky, who corroborate James Comey on the issue of potential obstruction.
Anyway, good Monday morning to you. I just had, like, one of those, like, scares. Monday morning, I slept like garbage last night. Don't ask me why. I don't know. God did not want me to sleep, in spite of all the yard work I did. He looked down and said, yeah, Matt, you need to toss and turn most of the night. So I did that, and happy to do it. So I do that, and then I get out of bed. I drag my sorry ass out of bed thinking, okay, my day's going to go like this. I'll do the show, and then I'll finish the show, and then I've got an interview to do with Joe Patterson. Do that, record that, and then I'll take a nap, I'll go work out, blah, 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 blah. 6:33, I get an email from somebody. Hey, looking forward to the interview today. It's going to be awesome. And I'm like, oh! So, and I set this interview up a week or 10 days ago. And I'm like, what the hell, man? How did I double book this? What the? I'm normally pretty good at scheduling, yada, yada, yada. So I hop in the shower, come running in here. I start looking at my schedule. I have it written down for tomorrow. How did I screw this up? I look at my text messages. It's tomorrow, man. It's tomorrow. Which actually relieved me a great deal. So I'm not as screwed up as I thought I was. Yada, 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 yada. So, anyway. Good morning to you. When we left on Friday, kind of left on a note, we'll see what happens with Andrew McCabe. So, we all know that he got fired, which is good. And I'll tell you why it's good, and I'll take you back to my high school story about Jack Whitry, the assistant principal at my all-boys Catholic high school. From 1972 to 1976, so from the fall of 1971 until the spring of 1976, I went to a Catholic grammar school, right, St. Charles Borromeo. And, so, yeah, St. Charles Borromeo Cougars. And my life pretty structured. The same set of rules I live by at my house, I live by at school. From my parents, there was an expectation that I would try hard, and I would treat people well. And beyond that, everything was alright. I went to school, there was an expectation that I would achieve academically, an expectation that I would achieve academically, and that I would treat people well. And so, I mean, as a kid, my life was pretty simple, right? Kathleen, corporal punishment, Kathleen, my mom. We lived probably, 3 miles from school. And it wasn't until the fifth grade when I threw off the yoke of tyranny that I stopped going, that she would allow me to ride my bike to school. Yeah, so I started riding my bike in fifth grade when it wasn't cold. When it was really cold in the morning, I said, yeah, I'm not cold weather. I was not cold weather capable at the time. But again, the nuns were, they did not screw around. So when you acted like a punk, you got treated like a punk. And so I go from there to all boys Catholic high school that had a reputation. My dad went there, my uncles went there, so I was going there, and it had a reputation for being a place where discipline, where you learned what discipline was. But you know, it was in the '70s. You know, we all had longer hair except my cousin Tom. He looked like, in the middle of the '70s, he looked like a Republican. Yeah, he has the same hairstyle then as he does today. Never changed it. Yeah, he goes in and talks to his 90-year-old barber and says the usual. Guy's like, he doesn't even hear what Tom says. He just sits down and cuts it on autopilot. Anyway, so I go to high school. And I hear about a guy who's in my parish, and I told a story about him last week, Jack Witry. But institutions survive because of guys like Jack Witry. Jack Witry knew what we needed and gave us what we needed, not what we wanted. What did we want? We wanted to grow our hair long, talk trash, right? Be generally undisciplined, because that's what we wanted. And I will tell you, it's not the most popular thing in the world to be the disciplinarian someplace, right? I mean, can you imagine that job now? Things that titles you might not want now that take exceptional people. One, head of discipline. Okay? Two is somebody, and I heard this the other day, and it made me laugh, but it's true. Okay? Can you imagine a Democrat standing up at a convention and saying something like this?
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
That was a Democrat who said that. Could you imagine in an inauguration if you stood up and said that? They would look at you like, what did he just say? Ask what you can do for your country? Guy's out of his mind. Like, what am I doing for my country? Yeah. I thought, it made me laugh. You know, the world that we live in today. All right. So anyway, it takes me back to this role of disciplinarian. So Jack Witry was in my parish, so I knew of him. Right? My parents knew of him. And, he had kids that were younger than me and my sisters. So he was a bit younger than my parents. Played basketball, coached basketball at the high school. And, but he was a no-nonsense guy. And I say that because it's discipline, organizational discipline is important. And what he did for my school and my peers, and we still joke about him, cause he was one of those guys that was not like the rest of the teachers. He had an air of seriousness about him that the others didn't have. And I'll tell you what, all boys Catholic high school, it was a relatively serious place with teachers that were not afraid to grab you or thump you. Okay. And so, and it happened not on an everyday basis, but it happened occasionally enough. And what they did was when you acted like a punk, they treated you like a punk. They pulled your punk card in front of God and everybody. And guess what magical effect that had? Everybody else flew right. And when the idiots among us, stepped out of line, they got it. Right? That's why detention was so funny. Because they were down there with regularity. There was a usual list of criminals that was going to walk into detention. But you know what? If you talk to them now, they'll tell you, I can't even imagine what I would have turned into had it not been for guys like him. Would I have completed high school? Would I have just been a complete piece of garbage? You know, what would I have turned into? And so institutionally, and I'm going to draw a contrast for you between what happened to Andrew McCabe and what happened in a verdict that was reached, I believe at Camp Lejeune, in a plea deal in the Marine Corps relative to a case of a battalion commander in Parris Island. A review board at the FBI, all right, composed of lifelong civil servants, looked at information contained in an inspector general report and they recommended on the eve of his retirement, okay, that Andrew McCabe be fired. And so when a group of your professional peers looks at an investigation, who does this all the time, recommends that you be fired, okay, that's pretty significant. And the question was whether the Attorney General would accept the recommendation. So imagine what has to be in that investigation for them, on the eve of his retirement, after 21 years at the FBI, for the FBI for that group to say, hey, look, our lifeblood is our integrity. To be less than forthcoming under oath. Everybody at the FBI knows. Everybody at the FBI knows. He should be terminated. That's pretty amazing. But I will ask you a question. If you were an FBI agent over the weekend, what was your takeaway from that? What was your takeaway? Your takeaway was, holy shit, man. Holy shit, you know, even if he would have told the truth, he would have still been allowed to retire. But the fact that he lied, they smoked him. Integrity is important here. And there's some place that doesn't compromise it. All right? File that one. Okay? File that one under I for pretty important. Now, I'll contrast that to the Marine Corps. There's no doubt that every agent in the Federal Bureau of Investigation and in other federal bodies looked at that, because everybody I spoke to over the weekend said the same thing. Wow, that's incredible, right? My Marine friends, wow, that's amazing. That took no small amount of courage to recommend it or to do it. So I can't wait to see what's in this report. And so that's the memo that went out over the weekend to all those who make their living that way. All right? The FBI's Office of Professional Responsibility. Okay? That's the key. That's the ticket here. It was their recommendation. Okay? It was their recommendation. Nobody else's. A body of your peers who does this all the time and would recommend at the 11th hour and 59th minute that you be fired. Pretty serious. Okay. And then, in my opinion, institutionally, good for them for doing it. Regardless of the politics, good for them for doing it. The memo, hey, don't perjure yourself. Okay, we're the FBI. Think about that. And if you do, you do so at the peril of your existence, at least relative in our IRA, in our retirement system. Memo that got sent to every commander in the Marine Corps after the Paris Island event is this. You got a chance to plea bargain when you make gross errors that lead to somebody's death. Pretty sharp contrast. There was no wow moment in the Marine Corps when a recruit commits suicide by jumping off the third floor of a barracks at Paris Island because somebody who's been hazing him is doing that, and he's not supposed to be in that position because of prior accusations, unresolved, of hazing previous recruits. He's been told to get that guy out of there. He's already under investigation for a toxic command climate and was supposedly ready to be relieved prior to this incident. Now, this incident, and while he didn't directly, well, I don't know. I don't know his lack of doing his job directly impacts this recruit. There's no, I mean, did it indirectly affect this incident? No, I think you could make this case that there was a specific cause and effect relationship. And was he held accountable? Well, I guess you can say his career was ended. That's pretty rough. Not in a business where life and death are important. Not in a business where you have absolute control over people. Not in a business where you fail and what did you get? So there was an opportunity to send a message. And so I'm curious now, the composition of the general court. I'm curious about how a plea bargain is worked in a general court-martial. Who decides if they accept that? The officers impaneled in the court, do they decide and recommend to the convening authority, here's the deal, or is it handled something between prosecutors and defenders? Because I will tell you, the Marine Corps institutionally was poorly served by the verdict. And I contrast that with Jack Whitry, right, who, I don't know, compromised anything. It was his way or the highway. And there was thousands of young men that graduated from Christian Brothers High School in Sacramento, California that went through that living up to that level of expectation. And when you missed the mark, you were held accountable. Andrew McCabe, tragic for him, the loss of his pension. Worked 21 years at the FBI, but there's some lines that when you cross them, I can't save you from. And when you're an FBI agent, perjury, being quote unquote less than forthcoming, that's a line in the FBI that I can't save you from. So, congratulations to the FBI's Office of Professional Responsibility for calling a spade a spade. Up is up. Right? Up is up, and it is towards the ceiling. And just because somebody tells you that way is sideways today and insists on it and throws a fit and starts crying doesn't make it sideways. Okay? It's still up. And when it gets to the Attorney General, it's a little bit more interesting. The money last week in Washington, D.C. was that he would water it down and not fire him. Okay. he would not fire him, that he would go ahead and reduce it, blah, 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 blah. That's what the money was on. And I'm not sure if the president would have had a heart attack if he would have done that. So, a very good Monday morning to you. I'll tell you about my yard work here in a minute. But institutional discipline, I didn't really understand it, I don't think. I don't know. Well, I don't know that I'd give it a whole lot of thought. When I had heard the term, no attrition, no morale. I heard that in the Marine Corps. Hey, you know what they say, no attrition, no morale. And I thought, well, what the hell does that mean? That's like crazy talk. Like somebody's gotta die, or somebody's gotta pay for it with their life for us to have morale. And the answer to that is no. Okay. But the people that do things that they're not supposed to do have to be held accountable for the good of the institution. And if you don't do that, you imperil the institution. And that's what it means to me. That those people that step over those lines, right, a little bit get punished, a lot get removed. And in that way, on a regular basis, you reinforce the values of this, you know. And again, so more and more, we're living in a society that doesn't have hard values, where there is no consequences and the truth doesn't matter. And to close this out, they said Rome crumbled from within, yes, not from without. Right? We're fighting that. And we're losing it, I think, as a nation. The truth doesn't matter. There are no consequences. Yeah. All right. With all that said, good morning to you. United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. This goes out today to the FBI's Office of Professional Responsibility for doing what a lot of people don't like to do. And that is this. In the world today, there's a scale. Okay? And if you're a big timer, the same scale that gets applied to junior people doesn't get applied to you. Everything's mitigated. Oh, well, you know. Oh, well, you know. Oh, well, you know. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, you can't do that. Even though they violated the same exact rules. Okay? And Hillary Clinton is a classic example. Bill Clinton, a classic example. The rules don't apply. Okay? The rules don't apply. Donald Trump's a classic example. Okay? Just keep going. Just keep going. The rules don't apply to you. So, this is dedicated to the Office of Professional Responsibility at the FBI, who sent a message saying, guess what, boys and girls? The rules do apply to you. And you better pay attention to them. Because we are the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and our life's blood is our integrity.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
That would straight up get you not elected. What did he say? Ask what you can do for your country? I don't do anything. I pay my taxes. That's it.
Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination. Because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose
if we have to go fight.
We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
We got to win. Neller's speaking my language. All right, we'll check the weather as I get off my... No, I'm not getting off my high horse. Yeah, I think discipline is the path to success. If you don't embrace discipline in your life, you won't be successful. And I don't care if you're an artist, if you're a bricklayer, if you're an athlete, if you're a garbage man, whatever. If you're not disciplined, see you, Colleen. Colleen just leaving for school. If this is a shocker, Vladimir. I can't even say it. Vladimir Putin reelected. What a joke. What an absolute ass clown as a human being. And I would tell you this. I would disagree with Mike. Mike Musselman says, oh, Putin's great for his country and he fights for his country. No, he doesn't. He's a gangster. Those people are going back to the way they used to live which is as an enslaved, isolated people with an economy, Russia, the as gigantic as that place is, with the economy smaller than Canada. What a joke. He's an idiot, man. But he's one of those gangsters, right? He's in charge of a country, so I guess we deal with him, right? Just like the guy in Turkey, Erdogan, right? He's elected for life now, and it's spreading around the world, right? President Xi in China, he just got elected for life. Oy boy, we thought we were done with most of this shit, right? The walls came down, right? Moving towards some kind of representative democracy in Russia. Well, that'll be good, man. We could be allies. How awesome would that be? Russia is a part of NATO. Yeah. Russia, the United States. We'll deal with China. Not so much. We're going to dial it back here, sports fans. So, we're going to dial it back. Anyway. We'll check the weather. Putin. You can't even say it with a straight face, for God's sakes. Currently cloudy and 41 in Quantico. Raining. Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, 54 degrees. Granbury, Texas, 61 already. Mid-morning there. Big Timber, Montana. Starting out at 36, man. That means they're going to get close to 50, mid-50s, 60 degrees. Yeah. Spring comes to the Upper Plains. Sunny at 44 and 29 Palms. That's kind of cold. Clouds at 44 at Camp Pendleton. Okinawa's still got weather warnings, but it's warming up. Cloudy and dark at 71 degrees there. And in the land of opium, Marja, Afghanistan. Yeah, why is Marja significant? Well, in the 50s, there's a USAID project there that irrigated the hell out of the valley. And so they could turn it in, you know, they could, you know, agrarian society that farm it and we'd improve it. And they did. Opium. That's right. That's what they decided to grow. Yeah. Courtesy of USAID with your taxpayer money a long time ago. All right. Currently fair and 49 at the home of All Marine Radio. Looking for a high of 69 degrees today. Yeah, we haven't been near 70 in a while. 69 tomorrow under cloudy skies, and then rain tomorrow night, rain on Wednesday. Unbelievable. Are we ever going to get in the 70s? All right. The answer? Barely. In a week, it's going to be 72. And cloudy. And then we go back into the 60s again. Like, this is craziness. Crazy, I tell you. Crazy. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll check some news headlines on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio. Right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsouthfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Kansas, dust in the wind.
Only for a moment, and the moment's gone. Oh, my dreams.
As I say when I hear the song, always. The single most identifiable song, I think, in the history of music.
All they are is dust in the wind.
Okay, I'm going to play it over, okay? Listen. You're on Name That Tune.
Just a drop of water.
All right, you're on Name That Tune, and they say, okay, and you're standing there with your hand over your budget, over the buzzer, and you hear, oops. Boom, Mac. Mac, dust in the wind. Whoa, you just won $1 million. Yeah, I start moonwalking right off that set. All right, not too much DOD news this morning. Marine Corps Times, nothing new. Literally. DOD identifies 7 airmen killed in helicopter crash in western Iraq. 5 reasons to love the Marine Corps. We'll take a look at those. We should develop our own 5 reasons here on All Marine Radio. Not one other news story on the website. Maybe they're not updating their website. Interesting. So, 5 reasons. So we'll talk about 5 reasons to love the Marine Corps. This is 3 days old. I think something's wrong at Marine Corps Times. They do have, I will say this, they do have an awesome picture that leads the story. Okay. And it is straight up a great picture. It is, I'd be curious to know where it was taken, but it's probably taken, I don't know, pre-1920-ish. Okay. So there's a group of, it looks to be, I'd say a couple hundred Marines. So probably a company, right? And they're formed in a triangle with the pointy end of the triangle pointing towards you, and the flat end of the, right, the flat end of the triangle, the long traversing part of the, that connects the two, in a right isosceles triangle, okay? The diagonal that connects the two parts of the right side of the triangle? Yeah. Okay, so that's against the river. Now, this is kind of weird now that I'm looking at it. So I'm looking at the picture. Now, they're all wearing their campaign covers. Okay, that's why I say it. And they have an American flag. And they have a Marine Corps battle colors. Okay, and I'm looking on the battle colors, okay, that to see if there's any regiment or battalion indicated. There is not. All right. So, now, there's a line of Marines that form the leading edge, okay? So you go from the point and you go back to the water, and those guys, for whatever reasons, have their covers off. Yeah, not sure why. Somebody thought, all right, take your covers off. What? Take your covers off. We want to see your faces. Your parents will love it. Is that why? Now, the other thing I'm trying to see is all their blouses are buttoned up to the top button. I'm trying to see if they have a necktie on. But I can't tell. So I'm assuming they don't. All right. So now they have their rifles, their Springfields, with bayonets fixed, and they're pointing them towards you. So you have all the guys, like, on the exterior of this triangle. They all got their rifle pointed, right, at kind of a 45-degree angle with the buttstock on their right hip. And if you're left-handed, it doesn't matter. I don't see one left-handed Marine in this whole thing. Okay, because we don't do it left-handed. All right. So, got some motivated haircuts, too. Yeah, these aren't like World War II Marines, man. Growing their hair out, all that kind of crazy nonsense. Yeah, these are like legit high and tight motivated devil dogs. And then they've got the battle colors. and they've got the American flag with gold fringe on the edge. They've got that, even though it's a black and white picture, I can see that. They've got that, and they're and those things are pointed kind of at a 45-degree angle towards the photographer. So, it's a great picture. Yeah. It's from the National Archives. The caption, first to fight, a group of U.S. Marines appear in a Marine Corps recruiting publicity bureau photo in 1918. Motivators. Yeah. they have various forms of serious faces, right? I see one guy who's got kind of a smirk on his face. Wait, I take that back. Two guys have smirks on their face. And then everybody else behind them has their cover on and kind of in the on-guard position looking mean. But the guys in front, no cover on. And where are their covers? They just threw them on the ground in front of them. So there's covers all over the place. Come on, man. All right. Come on, man. Anyway. All right. Now, the story. Evidently, Military Times did things to love about every branch of the service, so now they're getting around to the Marine Corps, which we all know and love, right? And let me just read the article, because it's a paragraph, because it's relatively humorous. We did all the other services. Now it's time for the best branch of them all. I'm not sure who wrote this. It wasn't a PAO, because they don't write stuff like that. Hard to boil it down to five reasons why we love the Marine Corps. What with all the amazing things they do. How handsome and good-looking they are. That's somewhat... Is handsome, is that a gender-neutral term? I'm not sure it is. I think it's primarily associated. She's a handsome woman. You don't hear people say that. At least not in this century, you don't hear it. Not even in the, not even the last 20 years. Like, only your grandmother would say something like that. She's a handsome woman. What'd you say, Grandma? What does that mean? She's a woman. She's not handsome. She's hot. She's good looking. She's beautiful. She's gorgeous. She's not handsome. Anyway, how handsome, and I think it's affiliated with the male. So sorry. Some editor needs to redline that. How handsome and good looking they are. How ferocious they are in battle. That's straight up legit. It's going to be tough to select five qualities that truly define why we love the Marines. However, number one, Marines win battles. Ever heard of a place called the Chosen Reservoir? How about an island named Iwo Jima or a place called Fallujah? In the entire history of the United States Marine Corps, the only time they've surrendered was during World War II, when they were only a few hundred Marines versus extremely overwhelming numbers of Japanese with Japanese naval support. Even then, they fought for several days, inflicting high casualties against the invaders. I believe he's talking about Wake Island and Midway. Marines win battles, and if they don't, they make the enemy pay in blood for each piece of ground gained. Love that. Marines look damn good. That's another fact. And ask everybody in the military who's got the best-looking unis. Like, I don't know who was our fashion designer back when we invented all this shit. But high marks to that person. Now, and one other thing, high marks to all the subsequent commandants of the Marine Corps that have not modified our uniforms. That said, no, that is the way we roll. But sir, everybody's getting fatter and we need to get rid of the belt like the Army did. No, the belt stays. Tell them to get their fat asses out in PT. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's the way the Marine Corps does it. Institutional discipline, man. And ask anybody, when did they cut those uniforms for you? Oh, when you're in boot camp? So what happens when you decide to become a fat ass? You gotta go talk to your wife? Hey, I need a new set of dress blues. Why? Watch, I'll put them on. Because you got fat, bro. Take your fat ass out and start PT, and we're not going to spend $600 on a new uniform for your fat ass. Yeah, you haven't lost your baby weight. But I didn't have the baby. Oh, I know that. I lost mine. You didn't use yours, chunky monkey. Yeah. So, yeah. That's when they cut them at OCS. And then it's a tyranny of the belt, man. You can put on a little weight, and your uniform accommodates that, but the belt only expands so far. And then you put the belt on, uniform spandex, and all your friends are going, yo, Pillsbury, what up? Time for you to hit the gym. Yeah, but again, whoever does our uniforms, with the exception of that dumbass tanker jacket that somebody invented, yeah, that was lame. Marine Corps does a very, very good job with uniforms. All right. Three, with the exception of corpsmen, Marines are self-sustaining. They have their own air support. They have their own armor. They have their own infantry. There isn't much the Marine Corps can't do on its own. And you know what? We love our corpsmen, too. Why do we love our corpsmen? Because they didn't sign up for any of it. They joined the Navy. And they wanted to be a doc. Now, a very, very small fraction do. But then they get told, okay, so where am I going after I go to corpsman training? Oh, you? You're going to field medical training. Oh, what's that? Oh, you're going to learn how to be with the Marines. Like, what? No. I don't want to be with the Marines. I want to be in the Navy. Sorry, man. You're gonna go with the Marines. No. Like, who do I talk to? Nobody, bro. No, I specifically joined the Navy. Oh, yeah? You're specifically going to be assigned to the Marine. Damn it. How does this stuff happen to me all the time? Four. They were founded in a bar. That's true. Tun Tavern, okay? Back in 1775. Tun Tavern in a bar. The article says, Marines like to fight, Marines like to drink. It's only reasonable that the guy who wanted a bunch of mean and nasty fighters to fight the redcoats aboard a ship would go to the world-famous Tun Tavern in Philadelphia to recruit some of the meanest, nastiest, beer-drinkingest, rough-and-tumble men ever assembled. You know what? So, the question is, where do we find such men? The answer? In a bar. No doubt. In a bar. And not in a bar at noon, because you don't want those guys. Unless it's really towards the end of recruiting, then we'll take them. But the guys that are there late at night, it's going to be fun, not going to be afraid to mix it up. Yeah, found it in a bar. Marines have a sense of arrogant, cocky pride about them. And then there's a picture of Marines drinking blood in Operation Cobra Gold. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, five reasons to love the Marine Corps. You know what? If you have one, send me an email. Give me a reason to love the Marine Corps. Okay? A reason to love the Marine Corps. All right, so that's, again, like I said, slow news weekend. Yeah, Andy McCabe blowing up everything, and no new news on, I think something's wrong with the website. That's my opinion. Trust me, there's news out there. top five stories on the early bird. right. We're going to do the top five stories on Early Bird coming up next. So, again, don't touch that dial. All Marine Radio on a Monday continues here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts with 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machine anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light, put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marine.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support.
or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I remember walking round the court square sidewalks, looking in windows, things I couldn't want. There's Johnson's Hardware and Morgan's Jewelry and the old Lee King's apothecary. They were the little man, the little man.
Alan Jackson.
I go back now to store.
Alan Jackson's a cool guy. I don't know him, but.
Poured it up like they never existed. Renovated and called historic districts. There goes the little man. There goes the
The little man. I was reading an article over the weekend about how many jobs have been lost in this country by little men.
Before the big money shut them down and killed the little man.
And I guess here's a question: what are the advantages that internet sellers have? Is it you don't pay any tax on the internet? I think unless the person selling to you has some kind of facility in your state, which most do not, so you don't pay. Is that right? I don't think it is. I mean, you get to sell the same stuff into my state, but because of the change since we wrote the law, because of the change in the way we do business, you know, primarily in, you know, the growth of FedEx. You know, honestly, mail order stuff, right, is as old as FedEx. It's as old as the Sears catalog. If you grew up rural, man, that's how you did it. Mom gonna buy you a new pair of jeans. Yeah. She comes and measures your waist. She'll estimate your inseam because she'll cuff those things. She'll be rolling around them for 6 years. Yeah. And they come in the mail. Sears and Roebuck. But a marine invention. Yeah. Head of FedEx, former Marine, Vietnam guy. Hey, how about if we revolutionizes the time so you can get it, you can order it today, it'll be on your doorstep tomorrow as long as you order it before noon. That's right. Our distribution site is near, in many cases, adjacent to an airport. We load the truck up, we send it over to FedEx, we unload it, boom, we're done. And the closer we are to that facility, the later on in the day that we can take orders, which improves our customer service. That's how you do it these days. And in the meantime, hundreds of thousands of jobs go away. And we don't, and you know, what's amazing to me is we don't tax it, and somehow or other that's a level playing field. Now, when the percentage of sales online was relatively small, it's like, oh, you know, we don't want to discourage that. Okay, look, it's been encouraged. Now it's a competitive advantage. They pay no taxes. So, the nation foregoes all that revenue. Zero. So, again, I think it's time that we tax the internet. I'll tell you what, we haven't gotten to it yet because it's not particularly DOD stuff, but there's a whole series of stories that had broken late on Friday and then over the weekend about the mining of your personal information on Facebook and what is done with it. And I've kind of talked about this a little bit, but, you know, have we ever in our lives, Orwell couldn't even conceive that a private company would know everything about me. It tracks everything that I do. Right? And I saw this little thing that on the news one day, and they went to Google's report on you. Right? You use Gmail. They know when you email. They know what you emailed. They know everywhere you go. They know every place that you stopped, how long you spent there. They know every website that you visited. That's pretty serious. That's pretty serious data about you. And then what they now have done is they've weaponized that data. So what the federal government couldn't even come close to doing, Google has done in a way that George Orwell could never even have conceived when he wrote the book 1984. Pretty amazing. And now you're seeing stories about data mining at Facebook illegally, how it was used, how it was weaponized, how it was used. You know, and it's crazy. Facebook, Google, are they too powerful? Hello? We broke up AT&T into the baby bells years ago because AT&T was too powerful. And Google is not. And they go and they make the case constantly, no, tech needs to be good. It's different than everything else. Bullshit, man. So I think it's time to have some hearings on Facebook, Google, all those data companies that monitor everything you do. Do they have the right to take that data? And I'm sure we all agree to it when we download the Google Maps, right? I agree. Click. Anybody ever read it? Hell no. Right? I just want to make sure I know where I'm going. Yeah. Talk about earth-shaping inventions, Google Maps, GPS on your phone, everybody's using that. That app in and of itself changed the world. Because since you're using it, right, you're using Google, you know, might as well use their search engine. Hell, their navigation app is awesome. The whole planet's using it. I know, not everybody. Some of you guys use some of those other apps, which is fine. But you think they have a little bit too much power? Hello? Yeah, Amazon. Putting people out of business. Don't got to pay taxes when you buy from them. Pretty amazing. I'm just saying. Their competitive, the days that they should have unfettered competitive advantage by paying no taxes are done. All right. I want to play for you something that I saw over the weekend. If I can find it. It was, did I retweet it? I did something with it. I might have retweeted it. I think I did retweet it. I'm a Tim Tebow fan. Yeah, I am. So if you're a Tim Tebow hater, I'm sorry. But I was, I don't know, for whatever reason, I was perusing LinkedIn. And I saw something with Tim Tebow on LinkedIn. I was like, well, what is that? And let's see. No, I can't. No, I won't be able to find it. How about things that I posted? It's an awesome answer. Here it is right here. All right, so Tim Tebow gets asked about the pressure of, you know, of being a professional athlete and all that kind of stuff and blah, blah, blah. So here's his answer.
Walk down a red carpet, you know, that can be life-changing for people. And so to be able to be part of that and see that and now be able to take that mindset to a field, because so much of handling sports is handling pressure. Well, what pressure do you have if you're 0 for 12 and you're at the plate versus someone that is fighting for their life, versus someone that, you know, we picked up on the side of the street in Haiti because they're crippled or they're not wanted or they're thrown in the garbage? Like, how do you compare those things? And for me, there's not a comparison, and that's why you're able to handle sports as a game, because it still is. Yeah, we can pursue it. We can give so much of our time, energy, and effort to it, but at the end of the day, I know that's not why I'm here. It's not my biggest purpose. It's not my biggest calling. It's not what I want to be. It's not how I want to be known in my life. It's not as a football player, as a baseball player, as, you know, someone that, you know, worked hard to accomplish those things. I want my life to be so much more than that. I want to be someone that was known for bringing faith, hope, and love to those needing a brighter day in their darkest hour of need. And that is something that is a life calling for me, and so it's so much bigger than sports. But I am so grateful for sports because it's given me a platform to be able to share and love and care for people all over the world. So I wouldn't trade that for anything.
That was in response to, oh my God, that's in response to, how are you able to handle the pressure of being in a big league camp? Can you imagine the reporter, like, you start scribbling notes, then you just, like, stop, and then when he's done, you look up and you're like, thanks, got it. That's all. I don't need anything more. Tim Tebow, man. People hate his guts. He is just an awesome guy. I remember when he was playing in the NFL, and I want to say it was after he quarterbacked that win in Denver or whatever in the playoffs. And they talked about, you know, so he gets in the spotlight. They talked about what he does. How before every game he meets somebody, and he just doesn't meet them and shake their hand and say hi and give them a ticket to the game. He goes out to dinner with them. Yeah, it's his weekend. He goes out to dinner with them. He gets to know that person, that kid or whoever, and their family, and he genuinely gives of himself. And you're just thinking, wow. Wow. And it's just amazing. When you hear that, it's so non, sports. All right. And, Tim Tebow is an exceptional human being, and he's been that way since we first started watching him as the quarterback of the University of Florida. Email. Mac, play that again. I just caught the last end. All right. This is Tim Tebow. At some kind of press conference if you don't know, he was on the New York Mets. I don't know if he still is. He was on the New York Mets 40-man roster for spring training or he was a non-roster invitee. Anyway, he plays in the Mets organization. He was with their big league club. I saw him hit four times in a game the Mets played against the Yankees. And I'm going to tell you, he looks like a baseball player, and he's got a good swing. And as I mean, he's pretty well put together, you know, guy in terms of physically. So he was a little bit overmatched by big league pitching, but he's not that far away. So so interesting. But with all that said, so he's in camp with the Mets. He goes to this media event, and he gets asked, "Hey, how do you handle the pressure of big league, you know, being on blah blah blah?" So here's Tim Tebow's response.
Walk down a red carpet, you know, that can be life changing for people. And so to be able to be part of that and see that and now be able to take that mindset to a field.
The question essentially was, how does he juggle his career, his charity work, and his life in sports?
Because so much of handling sports is handling pressure. Well, what pressure do you have if you're 0-for-12 and you're at the plate versus someone that is fighting for their life versus someone that, you know, we picked up on the side of the street in Haiti because they're crippled or they're not wanted or they're thrown in the garbage? Like, how do you compare those things? And for me, there's not a comparison, and that's why you're able to handle sports as a game, because it still is. Yeah, we can pursue it, we can give so much of our time, energy, and effort to it, but at the end of the day, I know that's not why I'm here. It's not my biggest purpose. It's not my biggest calling. It's not what I want to be. It's not how I want to be known in my life. It's not as a football player, as a baseball player, as, you know, someone that, you know, worked hard to accomplish those things. I want my life to be so much more than that. I want to be someone that was known for bringing faith, hope, and love to those needing a brighter day in their darkest hour of need. And that is something that is a life calling for me, and so it's so much bigger than sports. But I am so grateful for sports because it's given me a platform to be able to share and love and care for people all over the world. So I wouldn't trade that for anything.
When was the last time you heard anything close to that? Close to that in a sports press conference? Answer, Hitler was yet to be a corporal, okay? Hitler was yet to be a corporal. Email. You hit on something that has been driving me nuts for the last few years, and that is big tech. For whatever reason, antitrust rules don't apply to them. They get bigger and bigger, and more power is concentrated in the hands of fewer and fewer people. It's interesting that at one point Microsoft became a public enemy because they were too big. Hello? Alphabet? I mean, Google? Yeah. You think? Microsoft just sold the software and some hardware. Google is so far up our asses, we can't even see all the places they are. It's crazy to me, absolutely positively, that this data that is ours, that is us, is freely traded, and now we're learning weaponized without our consent. I think there's a Bill of Rights that needs to be passed, and I think the nation needs it badly. We ought to be protected against predatory intrusions into our own privacy. I can hear the response, though. Oh, no, but you agree to this. Bullshit. Oh. Interesting. Now, let me tell you, I'm with you. Microsoft, Bill Gates, you know, they became public enemy number one for a while. Yet Google is all good, man. Silicon Valley, all good. Facebook, let me tell you, Facebook is the conduit that Russian intelligence loves to use. All that information, a way that they could never get information into a discussion, they can now influence through this beautiful thing called the internet. what they could never have done in a million years on the ground with intelligence agents. They now don't even have to leave Moscow. And it just comes to them. And then Facebook pushes back at the notion of, oh, well, we don't vet and we don't. Wait a minute. If you're, how about qualifying if you're going to be a news source on Facebook? You know, and during the election, we talked about the industry of fake news. And there was a, I want to say MSNBC did a series of articles about a lot of these articles were emanating from Macedonia. And they went and they interviewed people, young people, that were working in fake news factories. And they said, well, you know, the key to the kingdom is get Donald Trump in there, get Hillary Clinton in there, talk about lies. And if you can get something to go viral, you can make thousands of dollars in a day. Okay, so isn't it in Facebook's interest to somehow or other vet news sources? No? And they push back against it. They just want this unfettered, and to think that people, that the criminals and the bad actors on the planet are not going to take advantage when they're thrown into with the general population. Come on, man. What's up with that? Stupid. So the question is, when will our beloved Congress act? All right, top five stories on the early bird. DOD identifies seven airmen killed in helicopter crash in western Iraq. They've been identified. Again, our thoughts and prayers obviously go out to their families. Boeing has met aggressive growth target by supporting European and Russian platforms. So this is Boeing's corporate stuff. Boeing is looking to triple its income over the next 5 years with an aim to reach $50 billion in annual business by 2025. The effort could see the company form new partnerships or acquire businesses to support European and Russian platforms. So whenever you see this, the question is, how much is Boeing going to work with China? And when you work with China, okay, the question is, how much of your technology has to be transferred to China? The article doesn't speak to that. Mostly to European and Russian use. In a story that, for anybody who's followed the Marine Corps for any period of time, and the absolutely, and Bob Nielsen's one too, that's been affected by it, but the water contamination stories from Camp Lejeune, this story in Stars and Stripes today, contaminated drinking water found outside a North Carolina military base. It could be just a start. Storm water is held, some kind of like little lagoon, little pond. Storm water is held at a testing basin before being discharged into Slocum Creek at Marine Corps Air Station Cherry Point, North Carolina. According to a report on March 17, 2018, the North Carolina community of Atlantic, located near Cherry Point, has joined a growing list of military areas across the country affected by contaminated drinking water. The question is, how long? The Navy is providing bottled water after two private groundwater wells in Atlantic, an unincorporated area of Cattaray County, with a population of less than 600, tested positive for elevated levels of cancer-causing chemicals. Atlantic sits on the Core Sound, just west of the Outer Banks. The chemicals, perfluoroctane, sulfonate, or PFOS, and perfluoroctanic acid, or PFOA, are used to make products more stain-resistant, waterproof, and non-stick. They also appear in common household products such as cookware, carpets, food, packaging, clothes, and according to the EPA. They were also found in a firefighting foam used by the Department of Defense beginning in the late 70s. Anyway, this story goes on. That in the news today. Number four, Navy's new attack submarine, Colorado, joins the fleet. I saw the launching of the, I want to say it was the USS Vallejo? I think, yeah, my uncle Corky, yeah, he was in the Navy. Holy shit. Yeah, so, I can't remember, he was working down in the Bay Area. I was living in Sacramento. And, it was launched on October 23rd, 1965. I'd have been 8 years old. Yeah. And I don't know how he got it, but he gave me a helmet liner. I was fired up too. Had no clue to what it was. Helmet liner. I thought it was a helmet. This is it? Kind of flimsy. Whatever. And, I used to wear that thing around. I didn't have a chin strap though, so it was kind of, I couldn't wear it when I was like doing my stuff when I was a kid. Bouncing on my head. I think I made my own chin strap. I was industrious like that. Yeah. The USS Mariano G. Vallejo. Was a Ben Franklin class fleet ballistic missile submarine, or better known as a boomer. Right? So they go out, they get lost, part of the nuclear triad, the boomers. All right. So the Colorado joins the fleet. Groton, Connecticut, U.S. Navy's newest attack sub, the USS Colorado, joined the fleet Saturday in a ceremony at Connecticut's Naval Submarine Base. Navy Secretary Richard Spencer says the submarine is a marvel of technology and innovation. I'm a little bit astounded. Annie Mavis, the daughter of former Navy Secretary Ray Mavis, gave the order to bring the ship to life before the crew boarded. Get Mavis out of here, please. It's the first attack submarine where sailors use an Xbox gaming system controller to maneuver the mast, which replaced the periscope, according to Commander Reed Kopp, the Colorado's commanding officer. Other submarines have joysticks. There's a 130-man crew. Women serve on submarines, but none have been assigned to the Colorado as of yet. So the USS Colorado joins the United States Navy fleet. I wonder how long till it gets active. The Turkish forces and Free Syrian Army capture the city of Afrin from Kurds. President Erdogan announces that the Kurdish flag was hoisted in the center of Kurdish-dominated Syrian city of Afrin. So again, the Kurds, what happens to them? Our most stable ally in Iraq, what's going to happen to them? Turkish military said in a tweet on Sunday that troops were searching for landmines and other explosive devices in the area. Many of the terrorists had turned tail and run away already, said President Erdogan. Our special forces and members of the Free Syrian Army are cleaning the remains and the traps they left behind, Erdogan said. In the center of Afrin, symbols of trust and stability are waving instead of rags of terrorists. So we'll see what happens. Syria, quagmire, to say the least. Nobody's in charge of that country. The Russians have fortified the Syrians. The Turks have moved in from the south. So, all right, a couple more stories. Russia continues its trash talking. Now that Vladimir Putin has won his re-election. Unbelievable. What a joke. Russia, West is just angry over our advances in Syria. Moscow's foreign ministry says the West's angry reaction to a nerve agent attack in Britain is connected to the war in Syria. Ministry spokesman Maria Zakharova on Saturday reiterated Russian denials of involvement in the poisoning attack on ex-Russian spy Sergei Kropop and his daughter. She denied the existence of the nerve agent Novichok that Britain said was used against them. Speaking on Russia's 24 television, Zakharova said Britain is taking a tough line against Russia because of frustration in recent weeks over the Russian-backed Syrian government forces against Western-backed rebels. Amazing. Amazing. In a tit-for-tat move, the Russians expelled 23 British diplomats. Can you imagine? The Brits are like, oh, my God, so happy we get to go home. South Korea is going to buy more Apache helicopters. Now, that will pave the way for a bigger confrontation at the DMZ, should one ever occur. The Russians have deployed 2 more frigates to the eastern Mediterranean. So, Russia, relatively small military, right, although becoming more efficient and they're growing it, right? Remember, economy the size of Canada. So little big man, right? Big chest that it shows off in public, right? Everything else is pretty fragile. But they'll fake it for a while. Another kind of interesting story is something that's dropped off the radar. The question is why? So this story is from Radio Free Europe. Headline, U.S. reports a major drop in encounters with Iranian vessels in the Persian Gulf. Why? Why is that? Quote, they don't seem to be engaging in the same provocative behavior seen in previous years, according to Secretary Mattis on March 15th as he returned from a trip to the Middle East. Mattis said he didn't know the reason for the drop in the number of confrontations. They are not coming in as close to our ships. The change came after U.S. President Donald Trump warned that he would blast out of the water any Iranian vessel that threatened U.S. ships. But Mattis did not attribute the change in Iranian behavior to such threats. U.S. Navy Commander Bill Urban, spokesman for the Navy's Bahrain-based Fifth Fleet, said there has been no unsafe or unprofessional interactions with the Iranians at sea. Yeah, think about this. Since August 14th of 2017, when an Iranian drone with no lights flew close to a U.S. aircraft operating in the Gulf. Why, when we have had dozens of incidents, what are the Iranians doing? That doesn't make me feel good about anything. I want to talk about an article that I saw about service dogs. question is, and then there's one more story I want to get to about the Secretary of Defense. So we'll take a break on a Monday. Almarin Radio continues with you. Don't touch it. So there's another story about the Secretary of Defense I want to talk about. And do service dogs really help with post-traumatic stress? Interesting. I don't know what the article says, but my own answer is, yeah. I would tell you, yeah.
Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. Battlemug.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. $8.44 on a Monday. Ohio man sent this. Lance Corporal Patrick Gallagher, USMC, KIA, 1967. The Navy announced they were going to name one of their ships after him. Navy Cross recipient, a native of Ireland, survived jumping on a grenade in 1966 and was later KIA in 1967. There's a website devoted to this. Interesting. So the website looks like it's done by his brother. On March 30th, I don't know what year this was. Patrick was remembered in his hometown of Ballyhouse. I'm sure I'm screwing that up. Come on, the Irish have these crazy ass spellings. Happy St. Paddy's Day to everybody, by the way. With a tremendous turnout for a memorial mass and parade to the town cemetery for a gravesite ceremony performed by the Color Guard from the Irish Defense Force. Along the parade route, as also occurred during Patrick's funeral, school children came out to the sidewalk, storekeepers and villagers stood in recognition, and the event was captured on video and photographs by both the ID, the Irish Defense Force, and local photographers. Patrick returned home to his final resting place in Ballyhonus following his death in an ambush in Vietnam. Among the letters of consolation delivered to his family, Senator Bobby Kennedy wrote to offer his condolences to the Gallaghers for their son and brother. The senator wrote, quote, Winston Churchill said, courage is rightly esteemed as the first of all human qualities because it is the one that guarantees all others. The courage of Corporal Gallagher gave to all of us, to him and to his family, are due the thanks of a humbly grateful nation. And then there's an article written in the Sea Tiger. I'm not even sure what that is, but we'll find out. The documents. And here's what I'm curious about. The Sea Tiger is the publication of the 3rd Marine Amphibious Force, 3MAF as it was known. Before we were MAFs, we were MAFs. So if you look at the article, the question is, so you dive on a grenade and you don't die. Is that less valorous than if you die? I think the act is the self. That's kind of when I saw this and I saw what Ohio Man wrote. He survived jumping on a grenade, recipient of the Navy Cross. Well, if you jump on a grenade and you die, you get the Medal of Honor. If you jump on a grenade and you by fate you live, you get the Navy Cross. What? And so this is the Sea Tiger. March 1st, 1967, Danang. A citizen of Ireland who threw himself on an enemy hand grenade to save the lives of 2 fellow Marines and lived to tell about it was awarded the United States Second Ranking Medal for Heroism, the Navy Cross, on February 19th, the anniversary of going ashore on Iwo Jima. The combination of raw courage and the traditional luck of the Irish was too much for the odds makers, as not only was no one killed, there were no injuries resulting from the Viet Cong grenade attack. No injuries. Corporal Patrick Gallagher, 22, of County Mayo, Ireland, my family's from there, was a member of Hotel Company, 2nd Battalion, 4th Marine Regiment, 3rd Marine Division, taking part in Operation Hastings when the action occurred. He was a magnificent bastard, holy smokes. Early on the morning of July 18, 1966, his company was set in defensive positions near Cam Low. Gallagher, among the 3 other Marines, was in a foxhole near the company's perimeter. Suddenly, one of several enemy soldiers who were attempting to infiltrate the position threw a grenade into the hole. Gallagher kicked the grenade out of the area where it exploded harmlessly. Another grenade followed, and this one landed between 2 of Gallagher's fellow Marines. Unhesitatingly, he threw his body on the grenade to absorb the expected explosion and to save his comrades' lives. It failed to explode, and the 3 Marines with him were ordered out of the hole. So the fact that it didn't explode... What is the selfless act? Is it the loss of your life? Kind of interesting. It must have been a very interesting discussion about, well, it didn't explode, so we can't give them the Medal of Honor. Wait a minute. It's the act. Interesting. Gallagher. While they were scrambling to safety, 2 more enemy grenades landed in the position and exploded. Still, no one was injured. Gallagher then rolled off the grenade he was lying on, picked it up, and threw it into a nearby river where it exploded on contact with the water. His courage and unhesitating self-sacrifice in the face of almost certain death saved 3 other Marines from probable injury and possible death. When he was 18, he left home and emigrated to his aunt's home in Long Island in New York and began to build his new life in America. In 1966, Bob was drafted and joined the United States Marines. After a 3-week visit home, he returned to New York and in April of that year was shipped out to Vietnam with Hotel Company 2-4. Sounds like he was an a machine gunner. They call him an ammunition carrier, but we don't have ammunition carriers. The only people that carry ammunition would be somebody who's part of a machine gun team. On March 30th, 1967, he was shot dead while on patrol in Da Nang. He was 23 years old. The American Embassy in Dublin contacted Father Rush, the parish priest, and Ballyhaunis. He told Patrick's parents following that Sunday's Mass. Bob's casket was escorted home by Staff Sergeant Moylan, a cousin who preceded Patrick into the Marine Corps, who laid a wreath on the grave on behalf of the U.S. forces, and then presented the American flag, which draped the coffin, the Navy Cross insignia, and the citation to Mrs. Gallagher, mother of the deceased. Wow. Well done, Ohio man. You know what? We'll see if we can get his brother or this staff sergeant on to talk about him. Pretty incredible story. Pretty incredible story. He looked like an Irish guy too. Got kind of a pointy nose. Pale complexion. Pale complexion. And I guess evidently there's either a documentary being made about his life or that has been made about his life. Documentary maker Kathy Rafferty with Patrick Morelli, who was in the U.S. Marines with Corporal Patrick Gallagher. Here's another email. Mac, on the subject of Google, how long do we have to endure their impersonation of Standard Oil in our modern culture? Google, Facebook, are you kidding me? Amazon. I believe all these companies are too big. They need to be broken up into components. They need to be separated. And I absolutely believe that retail over the internet ought to be taxed. Hell, we could pay for the wall and probably our entire infrastructure bill with that money. It's a lot and it increases every year. And you're right. It is pushing people out of retail, and it's also completely changing the face of retail. Take a look at your local mall. It's not going to be that way for long. The volume of business that goes through that goes down and down and down every year. You don't have to look any further than Best Buy. Once those big box stores with all their electronics were the places that we'd love to go and hang out. Not so much anymore. We buy much of what we need over the internet. Best Buy is closing its huge stores and producing smaller ones. The world is changing. We're adjusting. And part of that change is too much control in the hands of too few people with what seems like very little oversight. That is never a good thing. He'd be right. I want to see, but it's like, I don't know. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the, how do I say this? Can you imagine if a newspaper had been responsible for some of the things that Facebook has been responsible for? That they took over your news department and they affected X number of readers with just out and out fabricated lies? I mean, people would be incensed. But it happens on Facebook. I mean, the Russians and whoever else, I'm sure the Chinese do the same thing, although they're not in the spotlight. Right? I'm sure that they do it. So I don't know. It just amazes me. So Corporal Patrick Gallagher. I guess he went by the name of Bob. We're gonna follow up on that. Yeah, it is interesting though that you gotta get dead in order to win the Medal of Honor. I would have thought it's do you award the Medal of Honor for his intentions? The fact that it only exploded after he picked up and threw it? That's inconsequential? I don't know that sits well with me. I don't know that sits well with me. All right. We'll talk to Gunner here in a few minutes. Didn't talk to him on Friday. He was headed for an appointment. Yeah, so he bagged out on me. Anyway, and there's pictures up on this website. It's called www.patrickgallagherusmc.info. Yeah, Patrick Gallagher, GallagherUSMC.info. Yeah, so you go to that page and there's pictures of I believe the most recent ceremony that honored him here, and he will have a destroyer named in his honor. You have family members holding his picture. You have pictures of the American flag and the Irish flag at a mass. You have bagpipes and a procession through town. And in the front, behind the bagpipes, are two uniformed United States Marines. And the procession to the cemetery, where there was a program held with the Irish Defense Forces represented, along with the United States Marine Corps and other American veterans that were there. Wow. What a story. All right, we'll take a break. Gunner O'Brien snacks here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.